It is a State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore legislation that would allow dental therapists to practice in Wisconsin. The federal government's Health Resources and Services Administration counts over a dozen states and tribes that have adopted laws enabling dental therapy, including our neighbor Minnesota. Call in with a question or comments as we discuss dental therapy in oral health, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Rochelle Andre is Government Relations Specialist with the Wisconsin Primary Healthcare Association. The association includes 19 community health centers in Wisconsin. Rochelle, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you.
Yes. So this month we see state lawmakers reintroduce a bill that would license dental therapists, and your organization supports this bill. Can you tell us why?
I would be delighted. Yes, we've been working on this dental therapy legislation along with the bill sponsor, Senator Felskowski, and Representative Plummer for several legislative sessions now, and we're pretty excited about it. Community health centers provide primary care to patients across Wisconsin, and that includes medical, dental, and behavioral health services. And it's because of those dental services and really the oral health access gaps and the outcome disparities across the state and the promise that we think that dental therapists could deliver on to improve those oral health outcomes for patients in Wisconsin.
Can you tell us a little bit about the gaps that you see in oral health?
Absolutely. So we took a look at some zip code data just recently, and we saw that across the zip codes in Wisconsin, about half of zip codes in the state don't have a licensed dentist practicing or registered in that zip code. So we know there are some gaps as to where the dentists are in Wisconsin. We also know that there are some pretty scary access gaps related to Medicaid enrollees. Those are folks who may be low income or qualify for other reasons for the state Badger Care program. So for example, we know that less than 40% of Medicaid enrolled children received any dental services at all in 2022. And that's pretty scary because we know that dental and oral health starts early. So when we look at those figures for children, we also know that many folks are putting off care if they can't find a provider or turning up in the emergency room, if they have to delay care, if things are exacerbated. For example, we also know that 1 in 5 fifth graders has untreated tooth decay, and that's contributing to kids missing school, having pain. And so we're really looking to move the needle on some of those access issues.
There was a public hearing recently on the dental therapist bill. Can you tell us a little bit about what was raised there?
Sure. There was a public hearing about 2 weeks ago on 4 oral health bills in the Assembly Health Committee. So that was very exciting. Dental therapy was one of those bills. And there was not any opposition shared at the hearing. There was support provided by the Hygienists Association, by other providers. There's also more than 30 groups actually that have signed on to a letter in support of the dental therapy legislation. So that includes free and charitable clinics, hospitals, advocates who work with individuals with special needs, community health centers, and other entities that really are looking to address oral health issues and look to dental therapy also as a free market solution and something that we know is working right across the border in Minnesota.
Could you step back for a moment and explain to us, you know, what procedures could a dental therapist perform under the legislation?
Yes. So a dental therapist, and folks may not be familiar with that title since they're not currently authorized to practice in Wisconsin, but essentially a dental therapist is similar to a nurse practitioner or a physician assistant on a medical team, but on the dental team. So they practice sort of in between a dental hygienist and a general dentist. A dental hygienist can perform about 45 procedures in Wisconsin. A dental therapist could perform about 95, so double They could do fillings, extract teeth, as long as that isn't a complex surgical extraction. And then a general dentist gets trained to do about 400 procedures, so much more than a hygienist can. But a dental therapist would practice as part of the oral health team under an agreement with a dentist and embedded in that team, just like a hygienist is now, but who can do a little bit more within their scope.
How does the Wisconsin Dental Association feel about creating a license for practicing dental therapists?
Yes, we've been working, and the bill authors have too, with the Wisconsin Dentists Association on this issue for several years. And we're at a point where the Dentists Association is neutral on the bill. We've made some adjustments to it to really clarify the employment model and the accreditation standards for dental therapists. There's a national accrediting body called CODA that has enacted accreditation standards, and essentially we've agreed that it's important that dental therapists would be accredited, or from an accredited program rather, if they're practicing here in Wisconsin. So at this point, we're pleased to be continuing to work with the Dentists Association, and they are neutral on the bill, just like they were last session as well.
Rochelle Andre with us of the Wisconsin Primary Healthcare Association as we discuss legislation that would allow the licensing of dental therapists in Wisconsin. You can join in with your questions and comments at 800-642-1234. Rochelle, the Badger Institute reports Minnesota as the first state to authorize dental therapists. More than 130 now practicing in Minnesota, treating at least 175,000 people. What could Wisconsin learn from Minnesota and the model there?
Well, we're fortunate that there's been a lot of good evidence coming out of Minnesota, a lot of studies there. So, for example, the Oral Health Workforce Research Center has a big study on dental therapists in Minnesota, and that study showed that dental teams are satisfied with the addition of dental therapists, that actually dentists can work more effectively and efficiently when teamed with a dental therapist. There is timelier service and reduced wait times, and that patients can get more dental needs met in a single visit. So, with all of that data, oh, and something else that I think is really important to note, actually, 9% of the dental therapists in Minnesota, at least in 2019, were Spanish speaking. And many are working in underserved areas and with low income patients. So I think with all of that, there's a lot to learn from Minnesota. And our model in Wisconsin will be a little bit different, but it's been a benefit for a lot of the oral health teams in Minnesota, and we're excited about figuring out how to really apply that here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, how would Wisconsin's model differ if the legislation is passed and signed into law?
Sure. So the way Minnesota set up their programs, there's essentially two different tiers, and there's a few schools that are actually training dental therapists in Minnesota now. So we don't have that multiple tiered program here. Instead, the dentist would work under that collaborative man, or the dental therapist rather, would work under that collaborative management agreement with a dentist. And in order to practice under general supervision, they would have to practice for 2,000 hours directly with that dentist, which would really give the dentist a good sense of the skills and the competencies of that dental therapist. So we're really looking at a model to phase in dental therapists as quickly as we can, but also really responsibly, so that all members of the team are confident in that dental therapist providing care for patients in Wisconsin.
In the area of education, there's a bill that would secure $20 million from the Joint Committee on Finance to fund technical college programs. How would funding support dental therapy?
Yes, that bill is also very exciting. So the legislature put $20 million in the budget last, or this spring, last spring. And this essentially releases those funds and put the parameters around how the technical colleges in the state can deploy those funds. There are eight dental hygiene programs currently in the state. And dental hygiene programs are maybe a precursor to a dental therapist program if a technical college would like to go in that direction. But what this bill does in particular for dental therapy is it would provide up to $2 million for North Central Technical College to expand their current dental hygienist program and their dentist assistant program, and for development of a dental therapy program if that becomes authorized in Wisconsin. So we know that North Central Technical College is interested in pursuing that program, has been for a little while now, and these funds will help. They're a one-time fund, so it's really the upfront expenditures like capital needs, equipment costs, facility, and unfortunately, dental programs of all types, whether it's dental assistants or hygiene or dentistry, are quite expensive. There's a lot of tools and special equipment. So this would kind of be a jump start for North Central Tech to develop that program here in Wisconsin.
Let's take a call now. Kevin in Janesville. Kevin, hi. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Where would the dental therapist actually practice? Will they be affiliated with current dental spaces, offices, clinics, locations? Will they have to branch out on their own? And what about supervision? Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. Rochelle.
Yes, Kevin, thank you for the question. That's definitely what whenever I speak with dentists or other organizations, that's really what they want to know. What does this look like in practice? So, the dental therapist would need to be employed either by a dentist or by an organization like a hospital or a community health center or a free and charitable clinic. They cannot put out their own shingle, if you would, to set up their own practice. That's not the model of dental therapy at all. And under the legislation that we're working on in Wisconsin, a dental therapist would have to practice either in a dental health professions shortage area or in a setting that provides care to a population that is more than 50% special population. So that includes individuals who may have special needs, veterans, low-income individuals, et cetera. So they might be employed by just a typical dental practice or by a dentist or in a variety of other settings, but would not be practicing independently.
Rochelle Andre is Government Relations Specialist at the Wisconsin Primary Healthcare Association as we discuss legislation that would make way for dental therapists to practice in Wisconsin. Be part of the discussion. Call in with the question. Share your views at 800-642-1234. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Could licensing dental therapists in Wisconsin open up access to oral health care in our state? We discuss legislation reintroduced this session that would authorize dental therapists to practice under certain conditions. And you can add your thoughts. Call in with the question, share in the discussion, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. The Wisconsin Primary Healthcare Association is advocating for the passage of this legislation. And Rochelle Andre is with us. It's Government Relations Specialist. Rochelle, there was a public hearing recently held on a bill to enter Wisconsin into a dentist and dental hygienist compact, and the compact allowing dentists and dental hygienists to practice in all states participating in the compact. Your organization supports this legislation. Can you tell us about it?
I'd be delighted to. So this compact is brand new. There's a national body that develops interstate licensure compacts, and it was originally developed for veterans and their families to practice and do their work more transferably and easily across the US. But what this compact would do, if enacted, is allow both dentists and dental hygienists to practice more easily across state lines and in states that adopt the licensure compact. Each state still has authority over the providers that are practicing in their own state, and you still need to meet the state requirements for those providers. But three states so far have enacted the legislation, and it would be effective when seven do so. And it also develops a database and a system for sharing information about those licensed providers that are in the compact. And when I think about this, I really just think about getting the folks who are licensed and who are trained and skilled to provide the care to patients in Wisconsin practicing as easily as possible and removing those administrative barriers that can just throw a wrench in the works and may mean that it takes longer to get those providers into the clinical setting. So this would help a little bit. And especially thinking about maybe a dentist or a hygienist that practices in both Wisconsin and Iowa, or Wisconsin and Minnesota, which is quite common. If both states were to enact this compact, it would make it a lot easier for those folks, you know, if they meet the requirements for both states to practice without redoing that administrative paperwork all the time.
And if your family would have to move out of state, that compact would also help, I would imagine, in this career area in order to take your skills and your abilities elsewhere in other states.
That's right. And, you know, if someone wants to move here and bring their spouse who may be a hygienist and someone else has another profession, it also helps incentivize that person to practice in Wisconsin too, if we're in the compact, the same state that that person is coming from.
So, do you find as you talk with lawmakers that there is momentum in Wisconsin to join this compact? What is it like in terms of as you talk with lawmakers?
Yes, it seems that we've been a compact-friendly state. So we're in other healthcare compacts already, for example, for nurses. And the state is considering several other types of healthcare compacts right now that are moving through the legislative process. For example, for licensed clinical social workers, there are several other compacts that all seem to have some good momentum this session.
We're talking about oral health care and access with Rochelle Andre of the Wisconsin Primary Health Care Association. You can join in with your questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Ron in Manitowoc. Ron, hi. What would you like to ask?
Thank you. Good morning. I'm wondering what Michelle is doing to work forward to have Medicare cover oral health. In the past, the National Dental Association has been the biggest impediment for such coverage.
Ron, thank you. Medicare covering oral health. Rochelle, what can you tell us on that front?
Yes, that's a really good point. We do have a generous Medicaid program, which is the state program that does cover dental services for adults, which not every state does. But exactly as your caller noted, there is not Medicare coverage for dental services. And that can be a really big burden on a lot of families. And, you know, as noted before, when you don't have a dental coverage, it can land you in the emergency room because these kind of services can be quite expensive for complex care. So this is an issue that we do hear about from patients pretty frequently that, you know, folks who need it don't have the type of coverage in the Medicare program. And I know there have been initiatives at the national level to change that, but I haven't seen a very, very serious indicator that that change will happen anytime soon. And that is unfortunate because a lot of folks don't have other options right now.
So, I want to turn now to Medicaid. Your organization says that in 2022, less than 40% of Medicaid-enrolled children received any dental services, and states are required to provide dental benefits to children covered by Medicaid or CHIP. What are the barriers for children to get access to care?
Yes, this is definitely concerning, and Wisconsin isn't alone in this effort, or in that. Data. But we do know that there are just a lot of barriers that families face to accessing preventative or restorative dental care in Wisconsin. So when you think about it, If a family, let's say parents are working multiple jobs, a dental practice may not be open after school when you need to get someone into care. Or maybe parents don't have the transportation they need, or maybe they can't find a provider that takes their Medicaid insurance. The nice thing is that community health centers in the state, there are 19 and they served almost 300,000 patients last year. They do provide services regardless of a patient's insurance status or their ability to pay. So they do take Medicaid patients, but often may have a wait list or can't get folks in timely unless there is an emergency or some other urgent need for care. So we do need to really have an all hands on deck effort to figure out how to address that access concern for children. And there are a lot of really exciting initiatives in the state. We just need to do more.
In our last moments together, there is the initiative Seal a Smile program, providing free preventative oral health care in Wisconsin schools. How successful is this program?
Oh, I love the Seal a Smile program. It's really a wonderful collaborative effort between the Children's Health Alliance, the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, and Delta Dental of Wisconsin. Last year, Seal a Smile served about 80,000 children, sealed 100,000 teeth, applied fluoride varnishes, and provided over $18 million in preventative dental care in Wisconsin schools. There were 27 organizations that received grants, including community health centers, health departments, hospitals, and free clinics. That program is really moving the needle on providing that preventative care to families and kids, specifically in the school setting. Really a great innovation.
Rochelle, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Kate.
Rochelle Andre is Government Relations Specialist at the Wisconsin Primary Healthcare Association. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.